Literature. Page 146. Exercise 3.
Follow the rabbit-proof fence. They had covered a lot of ground since crossing the main branch of the Moore River, over hills and sand dunes, and across the white sand plains. Yes, they were making very good progress through the open Banksia forests, and they had covered a wide area of coastal, sandy heaths and had the pleasure to see a variety of flowers. They were almost past the clumps of Banksia trees when they heard heavy footfalls. It sounded like someone or something was heading their way. At that moment, it began to sprinkle, but they could still hear those footsteps. They were coming closer. There was another flash of lightning, and in the distance they heard a rumble of thunder. The footsteps were even closer. "Quick!" whispered Molly, and all three dived headfirst into the thicket and slid on their stomachs as flat and low as they could, not daring to breathe. They kept very still, frozen with fear as they lay under the cover of the tangled scrub and waited for whatever it was to appear. Molly had no intention of being caught, only to be sent back to the settlement to be punished by the authorities. The footsteps were so close now that the ground was vibrating and they could feel every step it took. Then they saw it. The frightened girls couldn't believe their eyes, and they couldn't move if they wanted to. They could only lie there, staring at the thing that was emerging from behind the Banksia trees. Gracie started to say something in a low whisper, but the words came out as an inaudible stutter. She tried once more, but the result was the same, so she gave up and shut her eyes tightly and began to swallow deeply, trying desperately to control her fear. For several minutes after the thing had gone by, its footsteps still thundering along, the girls remained on the prickly leaves, pondering whether or not it was safe to move. Their young hearts were thumping right up into their ears. They lay shivering with fear. It was another few seconds before they regained their composure and their fear subsided. Only then could they rise and stand firmly on their feet without shaking to continue their trek homewards.
"That was a marabou, Indidugudu," said Daisy, still obviously shaken by what she had seen.
"Yue, it was a marabou all right," Molly agreed. "A proper marabou," she added, shivering, as she remembered the frightening image. Yes, the thing fitted the description of a marabou, a sharp-toothed, flesh-eating evil spirit that has been around since the dream time. The old people always told children to be careful and to watch out for them, and now the three girls had finally seen one.
"That marabou had a funny head and long hair. He was a big one, all right," said Daisy.
There seems to be only one logical explanation to that phenomenon, and that was the so-called marabou may have been a very tall, local man with long hair who was running to beat the storm that was brewing and the fast-approaching nightfall. The man's giant-like stature may have played upon the girls' imagination and their belief in a mythical being of the dreamtime stories. But to these children from the western desert, it was genuine, and no one could tell them otherwise.
"Quickly," urged Molly. "Let us get away from this place."
The sight of the marabou had unnerved her, so she was also very scared.
"There might be others around here. We got to get away from this bad place," she added urgently, with a slight tremble in her voice. "It's getting dark. We have to find a good, safe place to make a camp for the night."
Molly scanned the surrounding countryside swiftly, then paused and pointed to a small range of sand dunes not far from the forest of banksia trees. The two younger sisters nodded. They could see the shallow valley of deep sand and the sand dunes on the left and began making their way towards them.
"See that?" said Molly when they reached the sand dunes, pointing to the rabbit warrens. "We'll just dig one. We have to make it big enough for three of us to fit into." "We gonna sleep in the bunna like rabbits too, Degrudo?" asked Gracie.
"You aye. Nobody gonna look in a rabbit burrow for us, Indy," replied Molly confidently.
"That's true. No one will find us in there," said Daisy as she joined them.
So, crouching on their knees, they dug furiously with their elbows, almost touching each other's. Very soon, they managed to widen and deepen a deserted burrow to make a slightly cramped but warm, dry shelter. This was their first night out in the bush since leaving their homes in the East Pilbara. Before the three sisters settled down to sleep, they ate some of the dry crusts of bread and drank the cool, clear water from the pools at the bottom of the valley. They had nibbled on some of the bread while they walked during the afternoon. Molly had chosen a rabbit burrow that faced east because she had noticed that the rain came from the west over the coast. They would be well protected from the wet and cold while they slept. Crawling in one at a time, they cuddled up together in the rabbit burrow, writhing and twisting around until they were comfortable. Soon, with the warmth of their young bodies and weariness, Daisy and Gracie drifted off to sleep. With their heads resting on their calico bags at the entrance and their feet touching the sandy wall at the back of the burrow, they felt safe and warm. While her two sisters were sleeping, Molly lay quietly listening to the rain falling steadily on the sand outside. She was too tense and had too much on her mind to relax and go to sleep just yet. But despite that, she felt safe inside the rabbit burrow. "Tomorrow," she told herself, "I will find the rabbit-proof fence and it will take us all the way home to Jigalong." The thought raised her hopes, and a few minutes later, she too drifted off into sleep.